B-Pod Studios.
Oh, it's the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Lisnelli Show brought to us by Corbley's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie, hoagie party tray. Every bit is good in the Phillies game. Oh, Hernandez says, Scotty Jetpacks, you ain't getting my job. I know you're hitting, but take this. He blasted one. Almost 400 feet. Hernandez, home run. Phillies up 3-0 on Zach Wheeler with Arrieta pitching a gem.
Two in a row now from him. Two in a row from him.
There you go.
Maybe he's back to being your ace with Nola struggling. Well, was it Arrieta all along?
Could be the ace. Nola number two. Eichhoff number three. Eflin number four. Vinny Velasquez number five.
Yeah, they still need somebody.
Yes, they do. Mike in Levittown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Long time listener, second time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
I called a couple years ago. I was a Jabril Peppers fan, if you remember.
I do remember you.
How you doing?
Good.
So that was a good little segue because I had something about the Phillies. Would you consider if Franco and Kingery keep their little hot bats going on, would you consider moving Reese Hoskins for a top five starter?
No.
No?
No. Not Reese. Why Reese Hoskins? Why would you remove a home run bat for a top five starter?
Because I think Franco can be the home run bat.
You want Kingery to be your everyday third baseman?
Yeah, and Franco moved to first. Yeah. It's hard to watch Reese play first base. It's real ugly.
I mean, listen, he's not that bad. He's not that bad. I mean, he's... Come on, there aren't a lot of great-feeling first basemen in the league.
No, but they can, you know, make a play. Like,
you're talking about a 40-home run guy. You can't just trade 40-home run guys like that, man.
No, but I'm talking about, like, a Blake Snell or a Bumgarner with a reliever.
Bumgarner's
struggling.
He's too old to trade for.
Well, that's why I say you throw in a quality reliever. Yeah, need pitching. Yeah,
My answer is absolutely not.
Now you wouldn't consider it?
Listen, I can get a pitcher for prospects. I don't have to trade one of my stud players for a pitcher.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, man. You want John Olive's question?
Yeah, let me go.
All right, here we go. Which came first? This is a fun little topic. Tech products. Which came first? The iPhone or Facebook?
Facebook
is correct. Hold on. Facebook came along in 2004. iPhone 2007.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
I had it too.
On my Facebook about how I was not going to buy the first iPhone, mm-hmm. but I would definitely buy the second one. And I've kept that consistent with every Apple product since.
I had the first iPhone.
Yeah, I didn't bother with it because I
What was what was the first fancy phone you had? Because you remember this was the phone of choice for a lot of people. Remember what it was?
The first one I had personally was the Razor phone.
The Motorola Razor.
Yeah, I remember.
What happened to Motorola? Man, they fell off the face of the earth. They had the phone on the market.
Yep.
What about the Sidekick?
Yep, that was the other one. At the same time, the Sidekick. Mm-hmm. A lot of girls had the Sidekick because the parents had
the Sidekick,
and you could do a lot of stuff with that.
I like the
keyboard.
Razor, man.
Razor was great.
Yeah, good flip to it.
I love the Razor phone. Yep. Looked cool.
I remember
a girl came up to me back just because I had the phone.
Do you remember the text when you had to text by typing in the number?
Three times.
To
get to the third letter. Yeah, that was my Samsung flip. It's Jose in Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jose.
Hi,
what's
up?
How
you doing?
What's up, man?
I'd like to apologize about last week, first of all.
What'd you do last week?
I was very frustrated. Nothing. He sounded very frustrated on the phone because he wanted people to be more realistic on how far the Sixers are actually going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and? Jose, what happened? I don't know.
He's gone.
He's gone. Just like that. And that's that. And we could do nothing about it. Gary in Blackwood, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gary.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Gary?
Not much. I just wanted to touch on Ben Simmons with the coachableness, his shot, mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Yep.
I honestly feel like that's right because, I mean, we're going on two seasons with him now. He still hasn't really shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't even really attempt to at all, you know? And the other thing is the story that mm-hmm. Mike Sheridan, I think his name is, to put it out.
Chris Sheridan,
yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have put that out there, man, and put his... put all that on the line. You know what I mean? There's got to be some truth behind most of that.
Well, listen, there's a lot of stories that are irresponsibly thrown out there these days. The landscape has changed in journalism. Now, recently, the most recent one was the Wentz story, right? Now, how much of that was really true? That was thrown out there, and you know, and there may have been a little bit of truth to it. Maybe there's a little bit of truth to this, but the individual instances that he cites are inaccurate. Who knows? But the one thing I can't say summarily is that the guy's wrong. He's the guy out there doing the reporting.
Yeah, you're right. He had to have talked to somebody or heard that from somebody.
You know, I can't imagine somebody would just make up stuff. You know, this guy's been in the business for a really long time. It's not like he's a young kid trying to make his mark.
Yeah, trying to just put something crazy out there to get hits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But,
all right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, I'll
give it. Here it is, the general knowledge category.
All right.
What country did Iraq invade in 1990? It caused a massive U.S. response.
France?
No, Iraq invaded Kuwait. Yeah, the U.S. didn't like that because there's oil interests.
Yeah, we had Operation Desert Shield.
That's right.
And then once we declared war, it was Operation Desert Storm.
It was George H.W., right?
Yep.
All right, we have two open lines, so now's a good time to get in. 610-632-0975. We'll have Jason Starr coming on at 4 o'clock today. Talk some Phillies, and I got to remind you about the Mike Miss Open because I was told before the show that now 50% of the foursomes have been sold.
Wow!
Mike Missinelli Open Thursday, May 16th at Ron Jaworski's Downingtown Country Club in Downingtown, PA. You have to go to our website and register. It's really easy to register. Just go to the website, 975thefanatic.com. The proceeds from this event will benefit the American Association for Cancer Research. The AACR is the world's first and largest cancer research organization, bringing together the greatest minds in cancer research to cure and prevent cancer. Mike Miss Open sells out fast. Like I say, it's presented this year by Corona Premier. Premium light beer for people looking for an elevated light beer experience. 2.6 grams of carbs and only 90 calories. You can also win a twosome in the outing if you go to one of our Corona Premier ticket raids. They are coming up on the 24th of this month, The Post in Philadelphia, the next night at Duffer's Pub in Concordville from 7:30 to 8:30. The Post is from 7 to 8. And then on May 1st, the Station Tap House in Doylestown will be our last one from 7:30 to 8:30. So there's no excuse. We're all over the globe. We're in Philly. We're in the Chester County area, Concordville, and we're in the Upper Bucks County area in Doylestown. Spreading the globe. All right, let's go Bob in Tennessee. Bob, what's up, Bobby?
I'm back.
Hi, Bob.
Wait, I got to get you off. I'm trying to get you off speakerphone.
Okay. Try
All
home.
Right, I
all
got
right there
job.
You go. All
got
right.
Job.
You got all it, buddy. Right. How are things going, Bobby?
Well, everything's going well. I mean, I got my Brenda. I was going to bring her to Fantasy Fest, but I'm going to send you some money for your golf outing. Because, lo and behold, Mike, I found out Tuesday I got stage 4 lung cancer.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, just when you think life is great, it comes up and kicks you right in the cahuyas, you know?
Bob, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
I don't
well,
know what to say
me too. I was going to make a Ben Simmons comment, but instead, I thought I'd just share that with you.
Yeah, well, you know, our prayers and our best wishes are with you.
Thank you so much. I play general knowledge, even though I'm not really in a good mood.
Well, you don't have to play, Bob. We'll do that. We'll do that another day. You just hang in there, and anything we can do to help your spirits, just you know, don't hesitate to ask. All right, email me.
Yeah, I will.
All right,
I will.
All right, buddy. Oh man,
that's tough.
I kind of didn't need that today.
That's really tough.
Yeah, I'm already in a weird mood for some reason. Seriously?
Yeah, he's and one of our favorite guys. He really is a good
guy.
He's
just a ray of sunshine every time he calls.
He really is.
That's tough, man. And I wish we was a little closer. I know he's happy in Tennessee where we can actually kind of. I drive to his house.
Yeah, I know.
If I, you know, if he was local, I drive to his house.
Yeah, that's a shame. And everybody, you just heard it, no Bob all these years. You know, and thoughts and prayers go towards him, and well wishes, and hopefully that it would help. And you know, I don't know what to say. Fred in Philly. Fred, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Fred.
Hey man, how you doing?
What's up, Fred?
Yeah, I'm glad you guys take me on here. Let me speak my piece. Listen, I need you to school me here a little bit, man.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand what's the big deal about Ben Simmons out of who knows how many practices he misses one and he was intoxicated. I mean, what's the big deal about that?
I don't get it.
Oh, a game.
What's the big deal about missing the game?
Alrighty.
All right, we hit a wall here. Alex in Frankfurt. Alex, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Alex.
Good afternoon, Mr. Guru, Mr. Nelly. How are you,
sir? What's up, Alex? How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Tyrone and Natalie. Hello. How's everyone?
They wish you good health.
Yeah. That's not an easy thing because both of my parents died from the same thing. You know what I mean? So I understand, you know, what he's going through, and I can relate. But, you know, he might live 50 years afterwards. So
hopefully he does.
Yes, he does. But my comment was actually as far as, like, you know me, I'm always asking the question. Mm-hmm. Right now, with the Phillies doing what they're doing, and the Sixers is tying up everything, One question is, realistically, do you see the Sixers taking this series? And
this series is over.
You think the Sixers is just going to wipe them off the face of the
mat? Six games max.
6 games max?
Yeah.
Okay. Because the first game, I was none too pleased.
They took their hard game too. I'd be surprised if the Nets can win one more game. They may, but the Sixers will win this in six.
Yeah, because I'm like rooting for them. I'm just like don't let me down because I really don't want to hear, you know, some few coworkers at work talking all this trash.
Yeah, don't worry about the Nets. The second series, what you have to worry about. They'll win this series.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, and the Phillies, you know, they're doing wonderful. You think if they do make the playoffs and whatnot, how far you think they might go?
I have no idea. Their pitching has to hold up. If their pitching comes together, they can win. They can get to the World Series.
Because I know most people, because I was talking to some other people that are baseball fans, and they were saying if that bullpen can hold up.
It's more than the bullpen. It's their starting pitching, too. So their starting pitching for me right now has to hold up as well as the back end of their bullpen. We'll see what happens. You want a general knowledge question here, bro?
Sure. Right. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Who did that 1990 song? All right. Let's go with this one here. Kiss from a Rose, 1994. Who did it?
Oh, man. That's a no-brainer. That's Seal.
That Seal is right. Seal. Kiss from a Rose. I think Seal's doing right now.
Seal's having a tough go of it.
Is he?
Well,
he divorced. When did him and Heidi divorce?
It's been a
right?
little while. She left him, and that really that put him in a bind.
That was the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, he's still like out there, but he did a cover of Al Green's "Let's Stay Together."
Did he?
Yeah, and all that, and it didn't work.
She was riding high for a while, man. He had the hit song. He had Heidi.
Yeah, that was one of the Batman soundtracks. That "Kiss from a Rose."
Batman Forever, right? I believe.
Yeah, that's not one I saw.
That's one of my favorite ones. It's a great one.
I was watching City of Angels when that was.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Let's go to Owen in Clayton, New Jersey. Owen, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Owen.
Sandwich boy. I've been to so many pharmacies looking for these Philly cheesesteaks, man. You got to let me know where you was out
Rite Aid, man. They got them.
Rite Aid.
You go to Rite Aid. They're still stocked. I was in there the other day. I checked. They're still stocking them. Somebody's buying them.
As soon as I find one, you're going to get a cheesy selfie pic on Twitter, man. I'm looking for them.
Take a photo of it.
just lighten the mood. Shout out to Bob, Thoughts of Press. It's good that people can call into the radio station and long-time listeners and callers
and they have a community like that. I appreciate that, mm-hmm. Even though it's sad, but much love for all
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons missing a game. Everybody gets drunk and misses a day at work. I'm not going to get super upset with that. We just have people on the sidelines in a playoff game on cell phones. I mean, tit or tat. I mean, I assume he did it. I assume it happened. Because who in the world is going to leak these kind of, or not leak, but report this kind of stuff and not have some semblance of truth to it? It's just, it would be insane to not take it with a grain of salt that there's some truth to it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, him not taking coaching, I believe that. I think that everybody on that team walks around and does what they want to do. And Brett Brown's just like, oh, well, you know, I knew your dad and I want to be everybody's friend and I'm trying to be buddy-buddy. I'm Pat Croce. So he doesn't have no control of the zoo. So I believe in the story. Ain't nobody suing nobody over that. Ben Simmons is too apathetic. He's so blase about it. He's like, look, you're going to believe what you're going to believe, and I'm going to go do what I'm going to do. And that is what it is. Ain't nobody suing nobody.
All right. Well, listen, like I say, I don't know if the story's true or not. If the story's true, it paints a fragmented locker room.
Yep. As a fan, I'm just taking it as it's true. Like I said, we got cell phones, and I'm a Brett Clown hater anyway, so I want them out. So anything I could do, proceed, and facilitate that process, I believe it.
You're harsh. You're a hard man.
Hey, true story, sandwich boy. Let's get this general knowledge so I can knock.
All right, here's the general knowledge. Home run leaders by decade. All right. So for the you're never going to get this.
I'm not.
No. For the Cincinnati Reds in the 2010s, who was
Michael
the
Jackson.
Home run leader?
Michael Jackson.
No, come on, man. Don't play foolhardy with me. You're going to answer a question, answer it properly. Jay Bruce for the Cincinnati Reds.
Tyler got that.
243. Tyler got it?
Yeah, he got it.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, look at that. The Big Ten basketball schedule came out for my Rutgers Scarlet Knights, and looking forward to when they travel to, they don't travel to Penn State this year.
By the way, did you know Taron Hatcher from NBC Sports Philly is a Rutgers person?
I did know that.
You did know that?
And also a South Jersey person, Taron.
Is that right?
Yep, she's from Delran.
Look at that. Yeah. Rutgers people all over that stuff.
Yeah, I was talking to Taron the other day about mm-hmm. that, about the South Jersey part.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Danny in the Northeast. Danny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Danny.
Yo, Mike.
Yo, Danny. What's going on, man?
How you doing, brother?
Good.
How you doing today?
Good.
It took them 2 years, Mike, for Pivetta, for them to realize that Pivetta got to go back.
Wait, I think they thought he was the guy who was going to have the breakout year this year. We had Gabe Kapler on in spring training, and they were saying one of those three, and Klentak, same thing. One of those three were going to have the breakout year. I think they all thought it was going to be Pivetta.
I don't know, Mike. I feel like sports teams in general should always listen to sports radio more often. I feel like, for real, like, I feel like a lot of the stuff that we say, you say, and people that have, like, you know, that actually their opinions should be heard, I think there's a lot of value in sports radio for the teams, like, for them to get their ish together.
Well, listen, I like to think I can know who can pitch and who can't, because I couldn't hit, so I know who can pitch. And I like to look at a guy like Pivetta, and I go, okay, yeah, he throws 95 miles an hour and he has no command of the strike zone whatsoever with his breaking ball or his fastball. How good is that 95? It's not any good at all.
It's bland, too, man.
Seriously, if you're not hitting the outside part or the inside part of plates, you don't have command of the strike zone. It doesn't matter what your velocity is.
Exactly, man. I agree 100%.
And I don't know what they saw in the guy, because he's never had command. And his fastball, when he puts his fastball over, it's always above the belt, high. It's hittable. So, I don't know. Go down to AAA, try to perfect it, and we'll see what you do.
Right. I just want to say real quick before my 2 minutes or whatever, Brett Brown, man. And I think the best thing that happened was that first Saturday game. And the way you called out the whole coaching staff, I loved how you called them all out.
And they switched.
Right,
Jim O'Brien. He's got a clipboard. He's writing stuff down. I don't know what the hell he's writing. You know,
right? Like, they just
all right. So adjust. So finally they did. They should have adjusted during the game, but they did adjust after the game. So I'll take that.
Right.
All right, man. Here's your general knowledge question, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. On what website would you find users Smosh and PewDiePie? Smosh, S-M-O-S-H, and PewDiePie, P-E-W-D-I-E-P-I-E.
I'm sorry, Mike. I don't even understand the question. One more time.
What website? On what website would you find users Smosh and PewDiePie?
PewDiePie. I'm going to give it a guess. Twitter.
Nope, it's YouTube. I have no idea who they are either. But people must know who they are.
I don't. What is it?
PewDiePie.
PewDiePie?
And Smosh, S-M-O-S-H. They must be famous YouTubers.
I have no
idea.
What
do I know? I don't know them.
I like to consider myself hip, but
yeah,
maybe
I'm
not.
If you didn't know who they are, who are they? 610-632-0975. Mike Mussinelli Show. We're back at you after this. And what's that? They're
Tyler,
video gamers?
Younger Tyler said that
video gamer?
PewDiePie's one of those video gamers.
PewDiePie?
Yeah.
PewDiePie?
Yeah, one
is
of the
video gamers?
Yeah.
And who's Smosh?
He didn't know Smosh.
He didn't know Smosh either?
Mm-mm.
Damn. Smosh has an identity crisis.
Man, nobody knows him.
All right, we're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, it's 3:30 on the Mike Mussinelli Show. 97.5, the Fanatic fills up 3-1. Arrieta with a masterful performance today during the bottom of the eighth inning. He got out of the bottom of the top of the eighth with double play ball. He's sitting on the bench with his right arm wrapped in a towel, which would indicate that he may be pitching the ninth inning to try to get a complete game. I can't imagine, because he's over 100 pitches, if they would throw him out there for the ninth.
Feels like he can go. You saved that bullpen. They're what they got 10 straight after this. This is their seventh straight, I think, without a day off.
Uh-huh.
You saved the whole bullpen. Do it yourself.
Yeah. I got an ethical question for you. First of all, let's do our Twitter poll update, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,100 votes on this one. Do you believe the Chris Sheridan New York Daily News story? 18% say yes, 82% say no.
All right, there you go. So, and we'll reiterate and talk about this story and rehash it if you haven't heard what it is. Did you get the email from the inner office email about the recycling day?
Yes.
Now, I have some stuff to recycle. It says anything with a plug will be accepted.
Yeah.
And then it says, tenants wishing to recycle a TV or a computer monitor. Oh, it's only a TV or a computer monitor. Should make a $30 check payable to the recycling people. That's not everything then.
No.
It's just a TV or a computer monitor.
Yeah.
So you got to pay $30 if you want to recycle an old TV or a computer monitor?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem fair, does it?
Well, I guess they're talking about the cost, to cover the cost. Everything else, though, you have if you just want to do your computer itself, that's free. The monitor, because of the glass, I think, that's in it, or whatever they put in the glass, is a little bit tougher to recycle.
Okay.
Old phones, that's a way to recycle it if you worry about your old information and stuff. The companies are usually pretty good about that data.
Yeah, I got a couple of printers I need to recycle.
Bring them in. Yeah. I have some stuff. My wife will probably be, oh man.
But I had like a little TV computer monitor.
Yeah, no.
Got it's that. A little TV. It's like, I got to pay $30. I might as well just throw that in the trash.
Yeah.
Well, then you're not recycling
right,
it.
Right, like the
ethics. I understand that. I don't feel like paying $30 for a thing that's only worth not even worth $30.
Well, you're not trying to make a profit when you're trying to get rid of it in the most humane way possible.
All right. I pay $30 to get rid of it in the humane way possible. I can go to Green, whatever, that Green Drop.
So what you should do is you find somebody else.
I can go Green Drop.
Nah, because they didn't say per each. They didn't say each. So what you do is you find somebody else, you go halves with somebody. And then you recycle two. You bring two things down, two monitors.
Okay.
Then you pay 15 each. You go half, or you split it three ways. Uh-huh. Like, here are my three things. Here's the $30.
Yeah, where's the loading dock area? Is that the one as you go around the corner to get to the back parking lot? Is that the loading dock?
No, I don't think so.
Where's the loading dock for one?
I've never been to.
I have no idea. Plaza? I think it might be all the way down, right?
Nah, it's over there by the trash cans, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's
what. Yeah, headed over there. Yeah, by the trash.
The back parking lot.
Yeah, that's where I think it is. Yeah, on that side.
All right, I got you.
The road crew knows, though. They load up.
May 2nd. What day is that?
May 2nd sounds like a Monday.
Let's go to D in North Jersey. D'Angelo Barksdale. What's up, D?
Thursday.
Mikey, Miss, Ty, and Natalie. How's everybody
What's
doing?
What's up, D? How you doing?
Hey, this story, I think that it's fabricated, and I have some an argument to support that.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it's not hard to see that Brett Brown very may well have lost this locker room.
Mm-hmm.
But does it take super reporting or an inside source to see that? We have guys on a bench in a playoff game on cell phones.
Yeah,
that's obvious.
Well, that was by one scrub player who never plays, so I don't know if that's an indication of anything.
Right. My second thing is, mm-hmm. why is the story coming from a New York guy when New York guys only care about New York? I live up here. All they talk about is New York. They don't care about what goes on.
Well, the New York papers will report more on a national level than most Philadelphia reporters will.
Okay, and my last thing is, mm-hmm. if a guy will fabricate one part of the story, I'm inclined to believe that other parts may be.
There you go.
Now,
the
thing that sticks out to me is you want to convince me that Elton Brand, after the Colangelo nightmare, comes in and the first thing he says is, let's trade our number one pick.
No, that's not the first thing he says.
Right, but he is quoted as saying that he is a regular season player, annually exposed in a playoff.
Yeah, but that's not the first idea he had. He's trying to build a team, and in building a team, maybe that was his opinion on Ben Simmons, and maybe they could have made a trade at the trading deadline, and maybe he did suggest it because he doesn't see room for improvement. Why do you find that hard to believe?
Because did we change the meaning of the word annually? He's an annual playoff disappearance after two playoff series in his life. One against Miami and the bad one that we all know about against Boston.
Well, I mean,
he played two playoff series and now
it doesn't mean that Elton Brand didn't think that. There's no way you can prove that he didn't think that. Maybe he did. You know, you just can't summarily say that that Brand made it known to ownership that he wanted to trade Ben Simmons. You don't know that if he did or not. You know, that guy is practicing more in journalism than you are, right?
Right.
So maybe he's got sources that would tell him something like that, whereas you would not have access to those same sources.
I would be inclined not to believe that.
It's up to you to believe it or not, but you can't say that his report is irrelevant because you don't know the people he's talking to. Maybe Brand told him. Who knows? Like, you can't discount the fact. Maybe it was a conversation with Brand.
But how can you say what the guy's going to do annually in the playoffs after two playoffs?
Well, you're getting hooked up on the annually word. Forget the annual word. You get hooked on the premise that Brand had this idea of Ben Simmons. Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But you can't sit there in your seat calling me on the phone and say, that didn't happen. Well, how do you know? How do you know it didn't happen? You have no way knowing. You're inclined to believe it or not. Curtis and Overbrook, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Curtis.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Curtis?
Hey, listen, man, I keep thinking of Scott Templeton with this story, man. You know who Scott Templeton is,
Scott Templeton,
right?
From season 5 of The Wire?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
That's what I keep thinking about. Whenever I hear this, all I need is Gus right now just to touch up a storm about this story somewhere, man. I'm telling you, man, this would be a perfect situation for Gus to tear in the head.
Gus
right
was
now.
The best, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
See, I had editors like Gus. When I was in the newspaper business, I had guys like Gus looking over my shoulder.
Yeah, that's what I thought about this story. And actually, as long as I kept hearing it, I was like, wait a minute, why does this remind me of something? Oh, yeah, it was.
Yep.
You know, so that's what I wanted to call and tell you about. Other than that, I'm like, honestly, I'm just want to get past this Brooklyn thing because seriously, this is much to do about nothing. I think tomorrow night they prove that it's much to do about nothing and we move on.
Much to do about nothing because they're going to beat the Nets. We know they're going to beat the Nets, right?
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that the locker room isn't that Brett hasn't lost the locker room and they won't succeed because of that. So you got to take this one game at a time. Just because they beat the Nets, that doesn't mean that everything's hunky dory in the locker room.
Yeah, true.
They're more talented than the Nets. They should win that game.
Yes, very much so.
All right, bro. You want a general knowledge question?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's see where we are now in general. Who did that 1990 song?
Okay.
All right, let's go with... Unbreak My Heart, 1996.
Tony Braxton.
Tony Braxton is correct. Unbreak My Heart.
Classic.
It is a classic. So where are we on this story here? Now, a lot of people, there is speculation out there today that the leak for the story could be none other than our little nemesis, that little runt that wasted our time for a couple of years, who's now in Orlando, who, I don't know, may have been out with Ben, who knows, Markelle Fultz.
Now, who said that it was him? Where did that come from?
It's just speculation.
Speculation. Okay.
That's floating around. Nobody has actually said that.
No one's going to. Because you don't give away a source.
Right.
No one's going
to. This could be, like, that's what people are saying. Well, maybe his source is this guy, because that would make sense that he's out with Ben and blah, 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 blah.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Do you think, Fultz and Ben had a good relationship, didn't they?
They did, and that's why they may have been out together.
Right. And
that's the whole point. They had a good relationship.
Right, but do you think that he would dime him out?
But they say...
He's diming out Brett Brown, really.
Right.
He's saying that they're a mess in the locker room. His motivation would be to trash the Sixers.
Right.
So he trashes them this way by reporting this.
Okay.
And that would be a direct source. He would have been in... He was still with the team during that meeting in which Bruce Bowen yelled at Embiid and somehow Embiid got in his face somehow.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, who knows? Whatever. 610-632-0975. The Mets got a runner on base. Is Arias still out there?
No, they're taking him out now.
He started
the ninth inning?
Yep. Yeah.
Sort of, he's responsible for the runner on first.
Gabe must have liked the matchup.
Yeah, once he didn't get him out.
They just took him out
after the first guy got on base. That's the end out of 105 pitches.
Yep.
All right, so there you go. Gabe overplaying the hand. No faith in a closer.
Well, let's see what happens now.
Decided to go Arrieta.
But now he's got to come in with a man on base. He's uncomfortable.
Was that an infield hit?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a close play.
All right. It's a hell of a job by him. 105 pitches. Phillies up 3-1. Mets have a runner on with nobody out in the top of the ninth inning. 610-622-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 3:46, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic. I mean, for the people watching the Philly game, we're watching right along with you. I want you to manage along with me. All right, now here's the situation. Arrieta starts in 90. He's over 100 pitches. Now, the scenario is you've got a right-handed batter up first and then two lefties. So what Gabe Kapler is thinking is this. I'll use Arrieta for one batter, then I got bring in Adam Morgan, my left-hander, to face the two subsequent left-handed hitters that are in the lineup, and then I've got right-handers coming up after them, so I'll bring in a right-hander. Now, is that over-managing, or is that prudent? Now, it would be over-managing if you believe that you have a closer who's worthy to put in. Evidently, he doesn't believe he's got a closer worthy of getting three outs in the ninth inning, so he's playing it batter by batter. Cano and Conforto were up in this inning. So is that over-managing, or is it prudent managing
to do
the way he did it?
In my opinion, it's over-managing on April 17th.
On April 17th, he doesn't have confidence in any closer.
Right, he wants to do, the closer can pitch in the sixth. I get all that. But I'm of the opinion of you pick a guy, you embolden him, you give him some confidence, and then give him a little bit of time to prove you right or wrong.
Now, here's the other thing. Neris is effective against right-handers and left-handers. He's going to get a split.
Yes.
So you're using Neris now when you very well could have used Neris to start the inning. Now, they're probably going to get out of this inning. They're two runners on because what Morgan did was he hit Cano to put two runners on, and they just got Conforto to fly out. So is it over-managing to manage batter by batter when you don't have confidence that you have a closer, is it overmanaging? The answer to that would be no. The other flip side of that is you should have confidence in a closer to throw out there in the ninth inning without having to worry about batter to batter.
Right.
So manage along with me. What would you have done?
That's a good question, Mike. But am I crazy to think that this early he should have emboldened a guy and maybe give a guy a chance to sink or swim?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I know if I was Kapler, I would not have confidence in the two guys I have who are supposed to close games right now. I just don't. But looking at the way they've been throwing in the early season, I wouldn't have confidence. So would I have thrown Neris in there to close? Yeah, I would have used Neris in that situation to close because he's got a split and you got two left-handed hitters coming up. That's what I would have done because he's using them anyway.
All right. That's fine. And with Robertson on the DL, Neris would probably be my closer right now anyway.
Well, that's another factor. Me. You got him on the DL, so you're short a guy. The only guy you can trust now is Dominguez, who you don't trust.
Even though
he's been better the last few hours. It's either you trust Neris or you do it this way. And he's got Neris in here now against the right-handers. But Neris is supposed to get out of left-handers because of the split anyway.
So just have him come in after area or have him start the inning.
Start the inning.
Clean.
Joe in Vancouver. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Joe?
Not too much. I wanted to send my regards out to Bob in Tennessee.
That's a good sentiment, Joe. And I hope everybody feels the same and sends their good vibes to Bob in Tennessee.
Absolutely. I hope we can do something for him, you know, through the show or whatever. You know, I'm willing to get involved to whatever degree, you know, you or him.
We're working on it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're working on it.
Thank you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Mike. You're a great man, to be honest with you. The Ben Simmons situation, the guys that go public with such stories like Craig Carton and Joe Santoliquido and now Sheridan, do they incur more wrath and do they pay the price more than they actually advance their careers or actually provide a service in these things?
Why? Incur wrath from who? Like what kind of wrath would you incur as a reporter? If you believe your information is right, you gotta bite the bullet. People are gonna give you crap. I mean, the Sixers are gonna give crap saying that it's a fabrication, blah, blah, blah. But if you stand by your sources, you gotta stand up and take it.
Well, you remember when Carton broke this story.
Yeah, I talked about it earlier today. I talked about that the same thing earlier today.
Exactly. Well, you know, Ed Snyder and Bob Clark wanted him fired, and he very nearly was.
Yeah.
And then Santoliquido was absolutely, you know, murdered in this town a few months ago for the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's either that or don't be a reporter.
All right, well.
If you're worried about your story incurring wrath, then you're not a reporter. Exactly. And you better get out and do something else.
Well, when Santoliquido, he said a lot of things that kind of make sense. Now, I don't think he said anything that was that bad about Wentz, and hopefully there's some positive that comes of it, but I agree with you. General knowledge for when I come back to Tijuana.
Would you like a general? Oh, certainly. We'll give you a little general knowledge here. Then we get home runs by decade.
Mm.
All right, let's go into the 2000s. The 2000s, the Indians... From 2000 to 2010, that decade, who had the most home runs for the Indians?
Could be Jim Thome, but he played here a lot. I'm going to go with Thome.
Thome's correct.
Oh,
okay. Nice job, Joe, from Vancouver. Jim Thome hit 368 home runs for the Indians in the decade of the 2000s. John in Berks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, John?
Not much. First thing, can Nola turn this around, or what do you think the problem is, and can he get back to where he was?
Yeah, I think he can. It's just a matter of getting back command. Now, he's been used to pitching with command his whole life because he doesn't have the great stuff. So I would think that whatever tweak he needs to make to get back his pinpoint control, it will get him back. It's not that he lost any velocity or anything. It's just that he's got to pitch to spots, and he's not doing that right now.
Right. I got you.
Yeah, I think he's salvageable. Now, if it was a guy who lost velocity, I'd worry a little bit.
Okay. All right. I got a Tiger Woods point. Is that okay?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, so I'm seeing a lot of irony here. I've been listening to you over the past few years. You know, you're not shy about it. Weren't shy about saying he's not going to win. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you decide the once in a lifetime trip to the Masters this last weekend. You know, he shoved it in your face, basically. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
so, well, and then okay, and then you went.
Wait, what do you want me to do? Would you like me to lock myself up?
No.
Like, what would you like?
Here's the. It's just like the most ironic.
Yeah, I was there last year too. So it wasn't. It wasn't like this was a once in a lifetime trip to, and he won. And like I'm trying to figure out what your point is.
Well, I was trying to figure.
He shoved it in my face.
Good equivalent for, situation. Is there an equivalent situation to this? I'm looking for an equivalent situation.
Well, listen, I don't understand what you have to say. I was wrong. He won a major. I didn't think he would ever win another major. There were a lot of people that didn't think it. I said it. And I said it not for logical reasons, not because I disliked him. He won a major. It was a clutch performance on Sunday. He won. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to give you my left arm? Seriously, I don't know. What do people want from me? Do you want a pint of blood? Like what?
I don't know. I think you're a little hard on him.
I wasn't hard on him. It was my opinion based on him having back fusion surgery. And the fact he was getting older, I didn't think he was capable of putting four rounds together to win a major. Now, maybe my dislike for him leaked in there, but you can't dismiss my logic.
All right, I got you. I thought that was the one time you went down there and, you know.
No. I go there every year. I do an event at the Masters every year.
Okay, I got you.
It wasn't a lifetime trip, and he shoved it in my face and the irony of it. I mean, I don't know what people want me to do.
I don't know either.
You want me, like a public display? Like you can nail me to some kind of a board?
Maybe.
And, and like put... little sticky notes on me saying you're an idiot.
What are the
like I don't know.
Maybe get a tiger tattoo.
Good for you. Want a major? He won a major. I was wrong. I thought he wasn't going to win another major. He won. Now, how many more is he going to win? Who knows? Maybe he could win a couple more. I don't think he will. But you know. He certainly wasn't shoving it in my face. I was the least of his worries.
What's terrible is when he actually...
I don't think he was thinking of me.
No, well, when he won, I think the city of Philadelphia was thinking of you. When he won.
How was I hard on him? Like, well, I just thought you were a little hard on him. Well, I wasn't hard on him. I disliked the guy. I don't like him. He's been a miserable cur for most of his career. But I've acknowledged that he's the greatest golfer ever. So, like, I don't understand what people want. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Mike Masnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.